The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world. I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our humble bunker. You know, this is the heartland. This very house, no matter where we live, is, as far as I'm concerned, the heartland of America.
That's well put.
Thank you.
And I agree. Today, May 7th of 2012, as we do a Monday program this week instead of a Sunday program.
You never know what we're going to come up with. It could be, you know, a Trunday.
Trunday?
Well, just part Thursday, part Tuesday, part Monday, and part Friday. Trunday. It's the eighth day of the week.
There we go.
Trunday.
In the month of Smarch.
And, exactly.
If you notice the audio on Sharon's
Smarch weather.
Microphone quality of Sharon's microphone changes because I forgot to change it back after the last time we used it.
No.
I had it set, you know, flat, no compression, so I had to quickly change that on the fly.
Why are you giving me this flat and flavorless microphone?
We had it set because we were doing some some music recording, actually, just testing it out. So
again, you never know what we're going to be up to.
Yes, but no singing today unless we really find something worth really strange in the news worth singing about. Probably not, based on what
there's a lot of strange in the news. I don't know that I really want to sing anything that's in the headlines.
Yeah, there are a lot of odd things that have been going on in the world, and you know. One of the things been going on here around the bunker is that we've been getting more analog of late. In fact, that's why we didn't do a Sunday show. We were, well, frankly, doing yard work, which was kind of nice, getting out and digging in the ground.
And we found lots of analogs.
Which had to be, you know, removed.
And we built an analog cabin.
That's yeah, but since we're not in midsummer shape yet, we've still sort of like a extended spring training. We just decided to hold off and do the program this afternoon.
Not midsummer murder shape, though.
Program that
I love that show, Midsummer Murders. If you have never watched that and you are a fan of British mystery dramas, It is so good. You get the feeling that you're set back in the 1940s or so, but it's modern investigation techniques. How can you possibly be relaxed and watch murders at the same time? I don't know.
I don't know.
But that show manages to do it.
Yeah. It's well worth watching. It's a comfort show.
It is. Yeah. It's a comfort show. In fact, the very first episode and episode number three are my favorites. And
one
I watch those over at 1 and 3. Yes. I'm probably 13 as well. So there you go.
Well, what is going on? Well, today on 5-7 of 12, breaking news.
Europe is on fire.
Europe's on fire, but and thankfully, an American airliner is not, according to Associated Press.
That's a good segue, honey.
Well, glad I learned something after 12 years of broadcasting. And this is what's being reported, and we're going to report it as it's
Coming
Associated
in
Press
today.
Is as Associated Press is writing it. Yeah, May the 7th. The CIA is reported to have thwarted a plot by Al-Qaeda's affiliate in Yemen to destroy a U.S.-bound airliner with a sophisticated new design. This is how it's being described. Around the one-year anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden. Interestingly, AP is now spelling Osama with a U instead of with an O.
Just like Fox News.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe this is Fox's spelling, because Fox is quoting the Associated Press story.
Okay.
Maybe they
Fox
changed the spelling.
Fox has always spelled that like USA.
Which is
almost like they're, you know, throwing it in our face.
Well, it's almost as though
CIA cut out.
Oh, no. We killed Osama. That Osama is still out there running around somewhere.
Fox has called him Osama since 9/11.
Yeah. Anyway, this plot supposedly involved an upgrade of the underwear bomb that was supposed to bring down a jetliner. Yeah, Underwear Bomb 2.0. In fact, maybe that's why you can't find those Munsingwear underwear anymore.
Ah, honey, that explains so much.
It does. It does. You know, for
I don't
years,
know. Most bombers don't shop at Sears, but I guess maybe they do.
Well, I don't know. Munsingwear, for you fellows who don't know about this, years ago, my dad discovered this and handed down the secret to me. Munsingwear, and I'm sure they still make this. It's just we didn't find it at Sears when we were out yesterday, which is why this comes to
and
mind.
And you thought you knew everything about Derek Gilbert.
Well, it's got a unique design. It's, and you know that when you've got...
real close to TMI.
Yeah. So anyway, just look up Munsingwear underwear and you'll see what we're talking about. The unique design there might just be useful to somebody who wants to blow up his underwear. That's all I'm saying. That's maybe why it's not available in stores. So anyway, the FBI...
banned by the DHS.
Yeah, claims that this had a more refined detonation system, and they're examining the latest bomb to see whether it could have passed through airport security and brought down an airplane. So apparently, this would-be suicide bomber has not yet picked out a plane, bought his plane tickets, or apparently even gotten near the airport when the CIA stepped in and seized the bomb. It is not yet clear what has happened to the bomber, and this operation unfolded even as the White House and the Department of Homeland Security were saying publicly that they knew of no al-Qaeda plots against the U.S. around the anniversary of bin Laden's death.
When was that anniversary? May 1st?
Well, that's a good question. When was he killed? They don't actually mention this in the article. You think that'd be kind of an important detail. They say around the anniversary of bin Laden's death. I hate to be skeptical of everything that we hear along these lines from our government.
But May 2nd.
Okay. So we're already nearly a week past the date. But sadly, when we get reports like this, we go back and look at previous incidents where the so-called terrorists who were planning to do something to the United States turn out to be a bunch of guys who were lured into or mm-hmm. cajoled into a plot by an FBI informant, guys who didn't have any funding, any technical know-how as far as weaponry or explosives, and yet are presented to the American public as a dire threat that was stopped by the FBI. And we're not intending to denigrate the work that's done by the FBI or law enforcement. It's just that we've seen so many of these stories over and over again where the guys who are presented as like the underwear bomber or the shoe bomber mm-hmm. or the guys in Florida who seemed more concerned about finding matching uniforms than getting weapons don't or the Huttery who were cleared of all charges and are presented to the public as an example of angry white people who are
as if there are thousands of them.
Right. We just see this over and over again as a way to constantly keep us afraid.
Well, this morning the first story I saw was of a fake bomb that was smuggled into the Olympic site in London.
Right, right.
And it was smuggled in by a newspaper. Yeah. And it was not caught, and the newspaper came out and said, "Hey, look what we did."
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a bomb, but it could have been. I mean, we're it's as if, okay, there's, and heaven help me, I do not want anything real to happen.
Amen.
At
right,
the Olympics
right.
or on an airplane or anything
right.
like that. But we are, since nothing like that, no event, quote unquote, is happening, then we have to constantly be poked with a stick.
Right. Yeah.
And let us not forget, May 20th, I'm going to poke you with a stick right now. May 20th here in Illinois, in Chicago. We have the NATO summit that's got half Chicago downtown mm-hmm. closed down and airspace closed down and evacuation orders in place, with Michigan saying, okay, we'll take the evacuees if there's a major event.
Oh, boy. You know, it's just another reason I'm glad to be from Chicago and not in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or any other major city, for that matter. I'm just finding that life in smaller communities is just so much more pleasant.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
trust
less stressful.
Me, if you are not from Illinois or have never lived here, my new experience to living in Illinois is that most people around here view Chicago as almost as if it's another state.
Yeah, and many of the fellows I talk to would be happy if it were,
if
frankly.
If they just formed their own.
Well, I kind of ran into that in Philadelphia, too, where the northeast part of Philadelphia, which was, you know, the old Dutch families, they would have been very happy to go their own way and left the rest of Philadelphia to, you know, sink into the Delaware. So you find that just about everywhere you go. But the sad thing is that when they get the G8 or they get anywhere, you're going to find some group of provocateur who try to stir up some trouble. And so they've got to be prepared for that. But, of course, it seems that ever since 9/11, they take that a step further mm-hmm. and use it as justification to for the naked body scanners at the airport mm-hmm. and those Viper units where they can mm-hmm. scan your car with X-rays while you're moving. Or for example, another news story, this is being reported by CNET, that the FBI has drafted legislation that would require firms like Facebook, Yahoo, Google, Microsoft, Skype to build in, well, of course, Skype is part of Microsoft now, to build in backdoors for government surveillance. Social networking sites and
Spybook, not Facebook.
Yes, yeah, Spybook. Skype would be Spike. Yeah. So that the FBI can look in. Now, the fact is, they're doing that already. At least the National Security Agency is doing that.
They just want it to be
legal,
easier.
Yeah. Well, they want it to be easier and they want legal cover.
Mm-hmm.
Legal cover. The major telecoms, AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, whatever, already have legal immunity from lawsuits mm-hmm. for invasions of privacy, something that Obama campaigned against when George W. Bush was pushing for the Bush administration was pushing for access to online communications. But then once he became president, suddenly his Justice Department started fighting the very lawsuits that he had been in favor
exactly.
of.
Exactly. It all depends on who's in office. We've talked about that so many times.
Right.
Our listeners, sophisticated as they are.
Already know this.
Yeah. They do.
I'm repeating myself.
They've anticipated that we would say that, oh, those Gilberts are going to say that
They're
again.
They're talking about that again.
And just in case you are playing the game at home, today Derek is wearing Day Glow Orange.
Yesterday was the highlighter
Day
yellow.
Highlighter yellow.
Yeah.
In fact, I have to tell you a story. Our front door has one of those sort of leaded glass look windows in it, and you can't really get a clear picture of what's outside. So anything that's outside, because it's in individual pieces, this little mosaic window that's in our front door, you only see pictures, pieces of the items, and they're put together in an odd way. Well, Derek was out front in his Day Glow Orange shirt working, and my sister Debbie, who's now living with us, only saw the orange, and she said, "Is that a giant pumpkin out there? What's it? Why do you have a giant pumpkin out there?" A Day Glow pumpkin.
I'm working on the gut.
Honey, you look great. You rock mouse.
Well, elsewhere, as we speaking of internet, there was this disturbing story that's apparently the first part of a four-part series on WorldNet Daily. Commentary editor at WorldNet Daily's posted a beginning an article on the secret dark side of Facebook.
Yes, I did see that. In fact, I think I may have put that to the Facebook, to the PID wall. You know, I suspect that we're going to see a lot of that. Many things have been taking place on Twitter and Facebook that are very questionable. Let's just put it that way. But the internet has been that way all along.
Right.
So no one should be surprised that we're going to find things like that on a site that's free.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can get in as long as you have an email address, and you can get by for a long time because Facebook isn't monitoring these things. They have probably keywords that computer programs are looking for, mm-hmm. sniffing through, so to speak, and if they don't find, you know, your site for a long time, you can manage to do a lot of damage.
Right, right. And probably what they're doing is using Facebook to meet people of like mind looking for this kind of sick pornography and mm-hmm. And draw them to other websites where they're
And the point is that this is all going to sort of funnel into a massive call for government-run internet. Mm. We need policing on this internet.
Mm-hmm. You know, the internet is a reflection of human nature.
You have to be careful. And it's no different than letting your child loose in a major city that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You would never, ever do that. And yet there are some parents who, because the child is 12 and sophisticated on computers, they assume that he or she is fine. You can't do that. You would never let your 12-year-old, you know, alone in New York City and just say, well, I'll be back in a couple of hours.
Right. And even sites that you would assume to be safe, like Facebook, aren't necessarily so. So just be aware that that stuff is out there.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that the people behind Facebook are trying to eliminate this stuff as quickly as it comes up.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Only because it keeps the government off their backs.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. This may be the means that get the public to support government intervention and government-run censored internet.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to have gun control, then how do you get gun control passed?
Yeah.
You have shootings.
Afraid of guns. And it's really surprising when you compare the attitudes of people in major cities or liberal enclaves, like around universities, to guns with people who live out in rural areas where, guns are just part of life. You hunt.
They're in a cabinet in almost every living room.
Right, and you think back 100 years ago, and anyone who lived outside a city pretty much had guns available. Had guns for just part of daily life because you needed to, even if only because you needed to take care of the varmint population around the farm, or had to protect against coyotes or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I killed 2 coyotes this morning.
We can hear them actually from where we're at.
Actually, it was on Frontierville. But,
but the fact
but that, I mean, the day was
is,
when
we
you would do
yes.
that outside your back door.
Right.
And, well, there are people living in rural areas. As you say right now, Debbie has talked many times about her son-in-law having to kill, critters like that around his cattle and around his pigs and sheep.
Right. But when you get into I remember when we were back in Columbia, Missouri, the revelation that somebody we worked with owned and used guns on a regular basis, for hunting. People around the place of business there were just shocked. I mean, literally shocked. You have guns? Like that was something horrible. So it's not that far removed, and it's just been through media, the attitudes expressed through media and through school and so forth, where people in urban areas, which make up the majority of population, which thus means we urbanites have more clout when it comes to voting, have shifted the culture in the United States away
from gun ownership. And I think major urban areas tend to vote more liberal.
Yeah, I think you're right. And for more government control and intervention.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, now having said that,
that's assuming that their person is in control and calling for it.
Yeah.
When George Bush called for it, they didn't like it, just as you said earlier.
Yeah. And that's, I think, why we've seen this pendulum swing the last couple of decades in the United States. We've gone from, so-called conservative, Bush 1, and Reagan before him, to so-called liberal, Bill Clinton, to so-called conservative, George W. Bush, to so-called liberal. And the overall trend, when you step back and look at the mega trends toward more government control, more U.S. military intervention around the world, those policies really haven't changed at all.
And we're all getting nauseous.
You're right, from being thrown back and forth, left, right, left, right. Speaking of military intervention, we get another news report over the weekend. An American drone killed 8 suspected militants in suspected militants in Pakistan.
Wait a minute. If you only suspect they're militants, how can you just decide to go kill them? At what point do they suspect us of some crime and send one of the drones that's now patrolling the United States, mind you, and some of them are armed, send one of them out to just take us out? Hey, 4 suspected tax delinquents were taken out today.
With a taser drone, yeah. It really is something that most Americans don't stop and think about. But if we put ourselves in the story here, if we just, you know, put the shoe on the other foot and started thinking about this, we might begin to think a little differently about our right to use drones in other sovereign nations.
Imagine if Russia or China or Iran
or Mexico
or Canada had drones roaming over the United States just taking pot shots at us.
Yes, saying, hey, you know, we suspect these people of importing drugs from Mexico.
And yeah, so we don't really have any proof, but somebody named him.
We suspect these people
of supplying
arms.
We have a drawing that looks a lot like him. Yeah. He's got a beard.
Yeah.
And a day glow orange shirt.
That might make us think a little differently about these things.
Yes,
Pakistan,
it would.
Pakistan has complained formally now several times to the United States government. And this strike, which took place in North Waziristan, was the second drone strike last week. Inside Pakistan.
You know, honestly, I'm still trying to figure out what our foreign policy is with Pakistan.
Yeah.
Because at one time they were our so-called friend. They have not necessarily been our friends lately, particularly in the wake of the so-called bin Laden assassination.
Right.
They're supposedly harboring fugitives that we're after. They are a nuclear country.
Right. And yet we're launching missile strikes inside. Launching missile strikes inside their nation. The Foreign Office issued a formal statement condemning the attack, which they claimed is a violation of national sovereignty and international law. You can see they might have a point. You know, again, if Russia decided to take out a dissident inside the United States with a missile strike, we might be a little irritated about that. The United States apparently unwilling to stop the drone attacks, and this from the president who won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2008.
He really is a great guy. You know, speaking of Vlad, Vlad is back in power.
Yeah.
He was sworn in, and apparently not everybody in Russia is happy about that. Some dissident behavior in Russia these days.
Yeah, and
anti-Vlad.
And it, again, it makes you wonder, are any of the George Soros-funded non-government organizations, NGOs, financing any of the opposition inside Russia?
We've got NGOs.
Just like we did. And I say we because it was revealed by San Diego, one of the San Diego newspapers, that the United States Department of State was sending money to these George Soros NGOs to help finance the Orange Revolution in Ukraine. And this was during the Bush administration. So, you know, you had the conservative Bush administration financing George Soros's organization to help overturn the election in Ukraine and get the guy elected that we wanted, our man elected in Ukraine.
You're wearing orange.
It was a free T-shirt. I got it for, participating in a company health plan.
I know you did, honey. Oh. And you did very well at it, too.
Yes.
You were a winner.
So, but the interesting thing about this is that even though Vladimir Putin is back as president of Russia, which, by the way, required rewriting the Russian Constitution to allow him to be elected president again, he was confirmed by the U.S. government that Russian troops will be participating in anti-terror drills on American soil here during the month of May. U.S. Defense Press Officer for Policy told The New American, which is The New American's the publication of the John Birch Society, that the Russian soldiers will be invited by the U.S. government.
Yes. Ones that are going to be in Colorado?
Yeah, part of a, quote, formal bilateral exchange program between the U.S. and Russia that seeks to develop transparency and promote defense reform.
That's why they're doing checkpoints on the roads.
Yeah, Commander Wendy L. Snyder of Department of Defense.
So if you're in Colorado and come the end of the month, you're stopped at a checkpoint and a Russian asks you a question, don't pull your gun.
Yeah. No, it's going to be very interesting. This is between May 24th and May 31st, yeah, as you say, in Colorado. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, watch for that. That should make things really interesting out that way.
Have you seen Red Dawn?
Wolverines! Yeah. Well, bizarre. Meanwhile, as you talked about Europe being on fire.
It's just going down the tubes.
Nicolas Sarkozy.
Not literally on fire, but, you know, politically, it's been better.
Yeah. Been better for Nicolas Sarkozy, the president of France, who was voted out of office.
He's so gone. He's so last year.
Yeah. So the Socialist Party is back in power in France.
Been a long time.
Yeah. And appears things are changing pretty rapidly over there. They've been talking about austerity measures to try to get budgets back under control, to try to save the euro. And apparently the new leader, whose name I should know and should have it up here on the screen.
Leader.
Yes.
Except in French. Leader.
Leader. Yes. yeah,
hold on,
go.
I'll get it.
Thanks. Anyway, the word austerity is suddenly become a dirty word, at least in France. Holland, Holland, Francois Holland. So the government of France, anyway, shifting to the left, which could put it at odds with Merkel and Germany.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you,
yeah.
You would think, anyway.
Sarkozy and Merkel have sort of been, you know, jousting for headship of the EU, mm-hmm. anyway.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, David Cameron sits over there and says,
yeah. And meanwhile, in Greece, neither part, no party.
He's been nudged out. David Cameron.
Really?
Was he not left out of a big meeting?
Well, Britain has sort of been nudged out. This is according to the Express, the Daily and Sunday Express in
the
UK.
Well, I mean, for all intents and purposes, as the premier of, you know, the PM of Great Britain, he should be invited.
Mm-hmm.
So he is Great Britain.
Well, foreign ministers, anyway. This apparently was a meeting of foreign ministers.
I see.
Yeah, EU foreign ministers have gotten together, according to the Daily Express, and drawn up plans to merge the jobs of the president of the European Council and the president of the European Commission. The president of the European Council is Herman Van Rompuy,
mm-hmm.
and the EC president is José Manuel Barroso. The new bureaucrat would not be directly elected by voters and would get control over the entire European Union and then could force member countries into greater political and economic union. Of course, the Brits have never adopted the euro. They still stick with the pound. The thing that has got the attention of the Express is that the British foreign minister was not part of these negotiations. And this group, which, according to the Express, has been headed by German foreign minister Guido I'm not going to pronounce this correctly. Vesterville, W-E-S-T-E-R-W-E-L-L-E?
Vesterville.
Vesterville? Okay. Guido Vesterville is sort of heading up this group. So the Express, the writer for the Express, anyway, is seems concerned. And this article, which is at the PID News site at Facebook, reads more like an editorial than a news piece.
I'm sorry, but a name like Guido Vesterville.
Yeah.
It's like McLopez.
Well, it kind of is, but
it's a German last name.
Yeah, yeah.
Guido's not German.
So. Yeah, I know. I mean,
I'm just saying here, people.
The name.
His name represents the conglomeration that is now the EU conglomo.
Yes. Very much so. And
of course, my first name is Hebrew, and my last name, my maiden name, is Scottish.
Yeah.
So, what are you going to do?
So, well, there you are. So, anyway, the Tories, who are the minority party in the UK right now, are complaining about this, and it appears that the Express takes their part in this particular article. It is unusual, though, that leadership of the European nations getting together to discuss the European Union would kind of cut the Brits out of the deal.
So they want to have one guy or woman, one person rule them all.
Yes, and right now they've
one person to bind them.
Yeah, and as Americans, we're not as informed on the nature of the EU?
And we don't hear anything other than sports and the current political climate. That's all we hear over here.
And the current political climate in America as represented by Democrat versus Republican.
Exactly.
You know,
that's all we
forget about any other.
Which is also, you know, essentially another game.
Right, right.
You know,
it's presented like a sporting
event. The Cubs versus the Astros and the Republicans versus the Democrats. That's
right.
All you get to see.
There is no third party.
No.
Yeah. But by the way, the Libertarians have nominated Gary Johnson, who was for a short while a Republican candidate trying to run for president. Hmm. So Gary Johnson, former governor of New Mexico, I believe, was the Libertarian candidate. But you wouldn't know it by watching American news.
If you're troubled by the idea of going to the voting booth and making a choice for either Romney or Obama, may I recommend writing in Sam T. Dachson?
There probably will be somebody out there done that.
His platform is solid. I got to tell you, it is solid.
Yeah. Snacks and naps.
Snacks and naps, yeah.
I was correct. Gary Johnson, two-term governor of New Mexico, is the Libertarian Party candidate. But again, you wouldn't know it from watching American news, nor would we know anything. I frankly was not aware that there was another president in Europe besides Herman Van Rompuy. I knew that he was the president of the European Council, but you know, what's the difference between the European Council and the European Commission? I don't know. But apparently the foreign ministers there want somebody who can have the same kind of clout that the American president has. Maybe they want their own guy over there who can order citizens who won't toe the line to, you know, be whacked, just like just like President Obama can. You put out contracts on people with legal immunity. A license to kill. James Bond, that's what they want.
They do.
Yeah.
In fact, that's why Great Britain was left out.
Well, yeah, because they've already got a guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, he scares us. Well, what else? We talked about super soldiers from time to time and the genetic manipulation taking place to try to create such soldiers who can fight harder and longer on less food and sleep. And it's being reported now that the military's research arm, DARPA, has announced plans to put nanosensors inside soldiers to monitor their health and release, or at least to monitor their health and alert doctors to potential problems.
And the next stop after that will be in the United States citizenry, because very often prisons and the military are where tests are run.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's a you know, a way that you can control the lab, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, frankly, you work with soldiers and A, they don't have a whole lot of choice in what gets injected into their arms.
Yeah.
And B, they generally are within a certain age range, mostly male, and pretty fit.
And so you've got ready-made, I hate to use the phrase, but guinea pigs for testing out things.
You know, speaking of military, there's a story out today. The headline, frankly, I'm just reading it now. Army says no bullet wound found in soldier who died of a Skype death is what they're calling it. I'm just going to really quickly read you what I am reading. So this is I'm not really sure what's coming up in this story. Army investigators said Monday that they found no bullet wound or evidence of foul play in the death of a soldier in Afghanistan who died during a Skype video chat with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So why did he die?
Well, they don't know. In fact, I saw this story last night, and I'm glad you mentioned it. I read the story at a couple of different sites.
There was
sites.
A hole visible in the closet behind him that they thought that she believed it. She must have seen it on the Skype.
Right. This was a fellow who entered the military at an older age. He was 42 when he died. He's been in the military for about 6 years. And he was on a Skype call, which he made back home on a regular basis. And while he was speaking to his wife on Skype, he died. And yet, but the articles, one was at CNN, another was one of the news services, said the military had not confirmed the cause of death. They were investigating to find out what happened.
Well, I do find it suspicious that she did see a hole visible in the closet behind him. I mean, I would certainly, if I were talking to you on Skype and you suddenly keeled over dead and I saw a hole in the wall behind you, I would wonder what had happened.
Yeah, it's
And I also have to ask, and, you know, I'm sorry, but what was Captain Bruce Kevin Clark involved in?
That's a good question, and I don't think he was in. I thought he was. Well, I'm not going to say until I look it up. But yeah, that is a bizarre story. That and really a horrific thing. While you're in the middle of a live video chat back home,
that's awful.
I mean, that's the thing. A live video chat, not an audio.
And I hope
phone
no
call.
Children were in that room watching that.
Right,
I mean, that's terrible. Well, in a totally unrelated story, except that it did happen this weekend, a body was discovered in a barn just a few stalls away from the winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Did we ever find out what that man, how he died? Is there a murder investigation going on?
There is. They say it wasn't connected to the race. They did see that there were abrasions consistent with a struggle. So, but no one knows for sure, or at least, I shouldn't say no one knows. At least as of the time I read the article last night about that incident, the police had not released a definite cause of death or anything. They did say that it appeared to be homicide, though. So they do believe it was foul play, just not what led to the foul play. So, but yeah, the bizarre thing was it was in the stable next to the one occupied by, I'll have another, the horse that ran that amazing race on Saturday.
Well, actually, I think it was four stalls down.
Four stalls down, but it was the next barn over.
Yeah, next barn over.
So,
If you did not see, by the way, if you did not see the Kentucky Derby, it was such an emotional win. It was one of those wins where even if you're not, if you don't follow horses or don't really care about the Derby, just to see this coming from behind, suddenly this horse comes out of nowhere and wins, passes up a horse that had been ahead by five lengths
as it came into the final turn.
And the jockey who was essentially came out of nowhere himself and was given a dream job on practically no kind of recommendation. He had didn't have a whole lot of experience, and he was put on this horse and they won, and it's like something out of a movie. In fact, I wouldn't be at all surprised if Steven Spielberg is sitting there somewhere, you know, writing a script.
The jockey was so moved afterwards, he could barely speak because he was just weeping.
You found yourself crying while you were watching.
According to what little I know about horse racing, it's like he had been racing in sort of the minor leagues in Vancouver until this the owner,
the farm team,
spotted him and said, let's give him a shot. He raced one time at another race out in California in this, you know, this top league in which the Kentucky Derby and the other you know, Triple Crown races are located. So basically, he gets one shot in the bigs, and then his second race at this highest level, he winds up winning the Kentucky Derby.
Well, apparently they brought him in, and he got to ride the horse sometime back and told a friend, this is the horse I want to ride. And the friend said, they'll never let you ride that horse.
Yeah. So pretty amazing story.
It's a great story. I like good things.
Yeah.
You don't get a lot of good news anymore.
No.
Hey, I have to say before I forget, today is May the 7th. And May the 7th always reminds me of the movie 7 Days in May. If you have not seen, that's another one of our must-see movies, 7 Days in May. Kirk Douglas, Burt Lancaster. I want to call him Bruce Lancaster. Burt Lancaster. You have to see it.
Yeah, it's a great film. Kirk Douglas is, but seeing those two guys in any film together is worth doing. But those two guys, especially as antagonists in the film.
Yes, it's a military coup, or an attempted military coup.
Yeah.
And I think that given the fact that there are many, many dissatisfied citizens in the United States and elsewhere across the globe, you know, the economy, the current administration says, we've averted economic chaos that we inherited.
Yeah.
What?
It was all Bush's fault, but we managed to save it.
Yeah.
Save the day by essentially doing what he criticized the Bush administration for, which was catering to whatever the banksters wanted.
Throwing gasoline on fire.
Right.
Because I just went to the grocery store today. Let me just say this. Let me bring it down to root level. I go into the grocery store like many of you do, and I keep seeing the prices going up and up and up, and the number of ounces in the package going down and down and down. We're getting a whole lot less for our money. I would say we're getting about, if we're getting 50% value based on what we would have gotten, say, 10 years ago, I'd be very surprised.
And yet they claim that the cost of living is not increased, that, you know, inflation is almost non-existent.
Well,
but they,
then they've got fuzzy math there.
When they figure the numbers, they manage to exclude unimportant things like food and fuel costs.
Yeah, we don't want to put those in because they depress me.
Who it needs to eat or eat their
exactly,
own.
They're not eating. We just go to restaurants.
Yeah. What else we got? A lot of things here, but no really good.
Well, I can tell you what was on the tabloids. At the grocery store today.
No, really?
Oh, yeah. Well, did you know, for instance, that Kate Williams, Prince William's wife, according to the Inquirer, is demanding a new probe of Princess Diana's death?
Oh, really?
I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm just telling you, that's what's – it was in print.
Therefore,
it must be true.
Well, it could be really interesting if in fact she is pushing for a new investigation here, because we might find. Oh boy, I hate to speculate. Well, it could be really interesting to see where that leads, and just hopefully no one else gets hurt. Looking overseas, I can't think of a good transition here, so I'm just going to just shift gears without using the clutch and just jam right into it.
Dianne Feinstein, Princess Diana.
Dianne Feinstein. Well, that's a good one. And this was really an interesting story because Feinstein.
I get points for that. I just gave myself 5 points.
I would like to do a little more investigating into the relationship between Dianne Feinstein and her supporters and Barack Obama and his supporters, because I seem to remember, and I don't remember any details, so I can't give you any, but there's a little bell clanging in the back of my head that says there's something there about Feinstein and Obama not seeing eye to eye, but certainly they don't see eye to eye on the condition of the situation on the ground in Afghanistan. Feinstein and the head of the I'm going to find the story now to make sure I get his title correct, but her counterpart in the House came back and told who was it? A Fox News Sunday, I believe it was. Yes, it was Fox News Sunday. That Afghanistan cannot sustain a democracy, and that the situation there is not as stable as it was prior to the surge ordered by President Obama. And that's really interesting. I've got to look this up, because it was she was agreeing with a Republican on this issue, because the guy from the House was there we go. Taliban stronger now. That this was the this was actually very direct and blunt. The Taliban, according to Senator Feinstein, is stronger now than before President Obama ordered a surge of troops to Afghanistan. This was Senate Intelligence Committee Chairwoman Dianne Feinstein and the House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Rogers on Fox News Sunday. The two of them were in Afghanistan last week, as was President Obama, to sign an agreement with Hamid Karzai over how many American troops would leave the country and how soon they would leave the country. Supposedly, we're going to be out by 2014, but we're probably not really going to be out of there.
No. We just had a meeting with, was Afghanistan or Iraq? I think it was Afghanistan, where the next, going through like 2026 or something.
Yeah, some
our agreement to stay there and help with this, this, and this. I heard that and I thought, oh my gosh! And the announcer said, "There's no information as to what plans we may have beyond 2026." And I thought, to stay there.
Yeah,
that's been our plan all along. Yeah, stay.
This is the American Empire.
Yes,
and we can't leave Afghanistan until we complete the path to Persia. Yeah, which leads to the other article I was going to talk about. And so you've now provided the transition.
Once again, let's see. Another 5 for me.
Yes, score. We've deployed a high-tech American fighter, which has never before seen combat, the F-22 Raptor, to the United Arab Emirates.
I thought those were didn't we have those in Japan?
Well, they've never been used. The F-22 is brand new. The F-22 is brand new. It's never seen combat. It was not used in
Iraq.
Well,
I'm not saying it was used. I thought I'm going to look this up. For some reason, I thought we had been.
Well, they may have been deployed elsewhere, but they've never been used in combat. So
they're going to be used in.
Well, Iran. I mean, that's the point of having them in the United Arab Emirates. It's only 200 air miles from Iran. And the Iranians, needless to say, are squawking a bit. What's interesting is that the Fox News article that reported this at the end of April did not name the location. Oh, yeah, it did. My mistake. I just overlooked it. It's the Al Dafra Air Base in the UAE. They are stealth fighters that specialize in air-to-air combat, but can strike air-to-ground if necessary. They are supposed to be the premier fighter jet in the U.S. arsenal.
I'm reading all about it right here. Supposedly, it was designed for air superiority. However, it is also used in ground attack, electronic warfare, and signals intelligence.
Yeah. The UAE has, like Saudi Arabia, been at odds with Iran for quite some time.
Yes.
And in particular, there are three islands in the Persian Gulf that the UAE and Iran both claim ownership of. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad visited one of those islands last month, which prompted protests from the UAE, and the UAE recalled its ambassador.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So they've got this dispute over these islands, and then following that dispute, the United States deploys its most advanced fighter jet, never before used in combat, to the UAE. I'd say that's at the very least a gesture with some significance.
And I think somebody has been watching the History Channel. Because it was Nostradamus and Doom all day long last week.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Was it Thursday or Wednesday?
I thought it was Friday, but yeah, there was like a whole day worth of
Doom. It
was
a day you guys were gone. Because Debbie was watching it out there while I was watching it here. It was doom and gloom all day long.
That's right. Thursday, as I was coming back from Lexington, I think.
And Nostradamus, he always seemed to point, his quatrain seemed to point to probably Islam being the great third Antichrist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why do you think that is? Why do you think these channels like History and others constantly promote Nostradamus? And they've got a special on, what is it, the History Channel, the Nostradamus effect.
Yeah, I tell you what the Nostradamus effect is, that the more times that they say the name and show the shows, the more we believe it. They're trying to, I think it's brainwashing.
And what to what purpose? To get viewers convinced that 2012 is something horrible is just around the corner?
Don't you? I'd like to know what our listeners think. I really do think that something will very likely happen. It may not be obvious, and maybe after the fact that someone will say, you know, during 2012, December of 2012, the following things happened, and had they not happened, blah, 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 blah. But I do think that we have been told for decades by the New Age movement that some sort of massive transcendence is going to happen. We're going to transmute into humanity the next phase.
2.0, yeah.
Yeah, because of some sort of mind-melding thing that we're doing internationally. This is the kind of thing you and I were talking about, because I really think that the internet has a lot to do with this. If indeed we are joining minds, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is what I've been thinking about all this week, and I don't think I'm the first to think this. So if someone else has thought it before, then we're just on the same page. I believe that if you look in the Holy Bible, that you find that in the end times that the body of Christ is being sort of drawn together. In other words, the body of Christ is being filled, not only as far as the numbers, but also really filled with the Holy Spirit. We're starting to wake up, so to speak, and the body's starting to move. Where, you know, technically speaking, the Lamentations, the Jeremiah vision of the Valley of the Bones was about Israel. But I think that you can also look at the body of Christ in the same way, because for centuries we have been asleep at the switch. And many of us are starting to wake up and realize the spiritual battle that's taking place. I think that the enemy is also constructing a body. I think that he, the Antichrist, if Christ is the head of the church, the body, then the Antichrist has to be the head of his own body. I think he's forming an anti-church. And I think it's through the internet. I think that is one of the ways mm-hmm. that he is connecting anti-church people. And another way may be through shows like the History Channel. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of mind control things that will flip you. And suddenly, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I think that there are some people out there who are watching the History Channel who have sort of DNA blueprints that makes them a part of the anti-body. I don't think that. Mm-hmm. I think that you are invited in by the Holy Spirit simply because you're a human, and you either say yes or no. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say no, and you keep saying no, there's going to come a point where the Holy Spirit's going to say, okay, you've said no enough times. I know, because I'm God, that you're never going to say yes. I've given you ample opportunity just so you know you've been invited, and I'm off to invite somebody else. I think the people that say no, if they're here when the Antichrist comes on the stage, they're his body.
Hmm. Very interesting thought, and I think
I don't know that I'm right about it, but it just seems
yeah.
it seems
it would
sort
make
of
sense.
Follows if
yeah.
if he is presenting himself as Christ, then he's head of somebody.
Well, and we're told that in the last days there will be a universal religion, a mystery Babylon.
Yeah.
So clearly, there's going to be an anti-church.
Exactly,
be, yeah,
and
masquerading
you and I,
as
yes,
yeah.
exactly, and. In Babylon, when the Tower of Babel was built, God said, let us go down and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And because they have one language, they could do anything.
Right.
Anything that they imagine, they can do.
Mm-hmm.
Was it because they were building the tower? Maybe not. He says, because they have one language.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can interpret that as, well, they could talk to each other. They could make plans together. Well, guess what, folks? We have one language. It's called bits and bytes. It's the internet. There is an mm-hmm. there's a subtextual one language sharing of information that's going on globally.
Yeah, I mean, we communicate in different languages on the surface, English, Chinese, Russian, whatever. But below that surface, there's a machine language that mm-hmm. Controls the personal computers we use to access the internet, that controls the routers. The machinery that actually comprises the internet and routes these packets of data back and forth, you know, the zeros and ones of the mm-hmm. binary code, that is
yeah.
one language. Yeah. And you're right. I think I've heard this idea as well, but it makes sense hearing it again, another piece of the puzzle, you know, fitting back together as we seem to be rebuilding or building toward what Nimrod tried to construct
mm-hmm.
prior to the destruction of the tower.
Yeah, and we're getting very close. And,
yeah.
and your original question was, why would the History Channel do things like this? Well,
people are eating it up. I mean,
ratings, I know that's got to be part of it. But, you know, the people who own and run the History Channel and all the Discovery channels,
mm-hmm.
they have a lot of money, and I suppose that they have certain agendas that they want, you know, put forth.
That's possible. And again, it may be nothing more than they're recognizing public trends and trying to capitalize on it.
UFOs, Hitler, and Nostradamus.
Right. It sells. It sells advertising, and they want to make money. It may be nothing more than that. But
mm-hmm.
what controls the spirit behind those who are demanding the programming,
mm-hmm.
You know, which comes first, chicken, egg, the drug dealer or the drug user, those who consume this type of anti-Christian propaganda
mm-hmm.
or those who provide it.
Snack or the dachshund?
That one I'll have to think about. Valley of the Dry Bones. That was Ezekiel, wasn't it?
Oh, sorry. Was that Ezekiel?
I think that was Ezekiel just before Ezekiel 38 with the Gog Magog thing, Valley of the Dry Bones.
I am betting you're right. You've got that day glow orange, and it's a good color for you.
And it, you know, and you know why it comes to mind is because I stumbled on this while I was looking up stuff while talking to Bill Salas yesterday. On
Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. Honey, you are the genius of the day. And the chapter to follow is Ezekiel 38.
And as we speak, the heavens have opened and it's raining buckets outside.
Cats and dogs are flying from the skies.
It went from sunny day to raining buckets here in the span of about 30 minutes.
You've got to drive somewhere. Sorry,
well, that's not far.
Yeah, Ezekiel 38, Gog and Magog, follows Ezekiel 39 in my Bible.
Or 37.
Sorry, 37. I got the new backwards Bible. No wonder it. I thought it was in Hebrew. these languages, brain, yes, head.
Well, yeah, Bill Salas was my guest on A View from the Bunker, and we talked a bit about Ezekiel 38 and Psalm 83, and then also Jeremiah 49, which is God's warning, his judgment against Elam.
Oh, yes.
Elam was the ancient land which is now western Iran, the part along the Persian Gulf.
Yeah,
and
the
significantly,
part where Cyrus the Great, wasn't he from there?
I believe so. The ancient capital was Susa, S-U-S-A. And Elam was significantly that territory, right smack in the middle of it today, is where the Bushehr nuclear reactor is located, which is supposed to go online later this month.
Really?
Yes.
The ones with the F-22s flying over it?
It could be. So that may be significant again, and the interview with Bill talks about his new book, Revelation Road.
Let me tell you the reason I knew Cyrus the Great was from there. I don't even know what chapter, you know, and verse my Bible goes by, but I remember that because I just recently watched a documentary on ancient Iran, ancient Persia, and it talked about the Achaemenids.
I don't know.
Achaemenid. Anyway, the empire that began with Cyrus the Great, and that area is where it began. So I just, you know, I got it on Netflix streaming, which I know we talk about a lot, but it's a wonderful way to just pay a very, very tiny fee per month and have a vast, you know, just for all ages, entertainment for everybody. Mm-hmm. Come all.
Well, and Susa, this is another little tidbit of information. That was the capital city in which Esther lived.
That's right.
When she saved the Jews from destruction at
That's
the hands
right.
of, was it Haman, the evil guy who wanted to kill them all?
That sounds right. Yes, yeah. I think so.
Yeah, so anyway, that was the...
you know how they communicated in there, in Susa?
How's that? Sousaphone?
Yes, they use the sousaphone.
Da, 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 da,
Hi
da.
For me.
Okay. Well, just a couple of other notes here as we get close
and
to...
And we really need to go because people right now, they're hurling stones at us.
As far as we know, the government of Israel hasn't figured out yet what caused that acrid odor in Tel Aviv
last week. I'd forgotten about that.
There was a haze in Tel Aviv. The picture that I see.
You could see the smoke in the pictures.
It looked like the pictures of 1930s Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, Pittsburgh back in the day before they started cleaning up the steel mills. Horrible situation.
My fan just came on.
Yeah. But they've not yet determined the cause yet. There was some speculation of a chemical ground disinfectant, but they don't they've discounted that. So, a mother in the UK who smoked cannabis or was a regular cannabis smoker stabbed her two young sons to death because she believed she was being pursued by the devil and voices were telling her she had to kill them.
That's terrible.
Yeah, this story, I mean, the killings occurred in 2008. She's,
Sorry, I'm trying to figure out where the wine's coming from because I just closed down my computer. It's not mine.
Yeah, I don't know it either. Well, we'll investigate.
I don't hear it when I take off my headphones. Let's put it that way.
Okay, well, we'll investigate that when we...
Speaking of odd sounds through headphones, we may try
Yes.
Blog Talk Radio live show again to see if we can eliminate the hum that we're pretty sure came from the Blog Talk Radio side. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what that whine is that's in my headphones right now and may not be coming through. I hope it's not, because maybe it's just my headphones. Maybe it's just my ears.
It is a bit distracting, yeah. We'll let you know through the usual channels, Facebook, Twitter, and the website's PIDradio.com.
It's not the tornado siren, is it?
No, I don't think so.
That would be bad.
Let's hope not.
Maybe we'd better close this out, but yeah. We'll post it to the PID news wall and at our various Facebook sites before Saturday to let you know if and when.
Yeah. So anyway, the story I started, I just wanted to mention, because this was similar to a story that I had encountered personally some years ago when I was working as a news reporter, a woman who killed one of her sons in the backseat of a car northwest of Chicago back. This would have been around 1981. And reported a similar thing, that voices told her that she needed to kill her children to save them from Satan.
You know, and the funny thing is that it's not funny. The tragic thing is that it's being reported. It's because of the mental problems of the people involved, not necessarily because of the drug they're taking. Mm-hmm. I would say it's the opposite. I would say drugs are causing gateways in our minds and spirits to open up, and we are therefore open to influence mm-hmm. by spiritual entities. It is not simply because we have some sort of mental break.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what the story, and I'll put a link to this in the show notes so you can take a look at the story.
But it stopped.
Yeah. I think it was a
tornado siren.
No, I think it was a fan on one of the computers here.
Honey, what's that black thing in the sky?
Like I said, put a link to that in the show notes. You can take a look at it. There's more to it than just somebody who's suffering mental issues. And final, just odd story, 1,200 dead pelicans on the beaches in northern Peru.
I saw that. And there were dolphins that recently
hundreds of dolphins dying as well. 3,000, and not hundreds, thousands of them, 3,000 along the northern coast of Peru.
You know, I have to wonder, seriously, if some sort of geomagnetic problem isn't taking place.
Yep. But scientists yet don't know what the cause is.
Or they're not admitting it if they do know it.
Yeah.
However, they do know for pretty darn sure that dinosaur flatulence raised the temperatures in ancient days. That was a story. I'm not making that up. That was a headline today.
Yeah. And, you know, nobody talks about what effect the buffalo might have had when there were millions of them, not ranging just across the open prairies of the American West. There were buffalo that were being hunted by the colonists in the 1700s, east of the Mississippi, Kentucky. There were people hunting buffalo. They were everywhere. And yet we hear about how cattle today are a major problem and causing global warming that's a threat to people in the Maldives. It's like, okay.
Not to mention the fact that in the plains states, there are more trees today than there were 200 years ago.
Yeah, well, what do we know?
We're not. We're just crazy people.
We're just deniers. We don't know nothing. Show notes of the website.
I know the music's here, so we got to go.
I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here.